go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Steve Schaubecker, your host, and I'm happy to be here for another great episode. So last episode, we took a little curve compared to what we normally do, and we got into some common questions that people had been asking us regarding startups. Well, that episode was very popular, and we got a ton of feedback for it. And the one thing that was included in a lot of feedback was asking one additional question. Now, we had this question asked dozens of times, so I want to take a whole episode and go into it. The question we received is, what's a business plan? Why do I need it? What are the important things to include in it? And how can I make it simple and effective? Well, let's do this. We're going to go through four. First, we'll start out is, why do you need a business plan? Well, there's a number of reasons, but the first one is that it will make you think through every part of the business you're about to start. Or even if you already have a business and just want to get more clear, every part of the business that you already have and what's going right, what's going wrong, where you can improve it. It really just is a great way to step through everything and make sure you're thinking about everything. The good, the bad, the opportunities, the barriers to entry, all those sorts of things. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to step through actually 11 different little sections that I would include in the most simple, basic version of a business plan that will help you get underway. So here's a couple of tips too, before we even get started on the 11 things, is just some things you really want to do on all of these 11 topics. The first thing is you really want to keep it simple. You don't want to get overly complicated. You do not want these answers to be 7 pages long a piece. That's not the goal here. You can certainly expand on your thoughts later, but to begin with, work through all 11 of these, make them short and sweet. The less words, the better, as long as you're getting your thoughts across and you're putting everything you need to on paper. Simple, simple, simple. Remember, as you're writing this, this is going to be a tool that you're going to use and you're going to go back to through many parts of the life cycle of your business. This isn't something you're just going to throw together once and use it in the beginning and then you're never going to touch it again. If you do it right, it's going to be a great useful tool and it will require some adaptation over time, probably some changes, some tweaks as your business grows, as you get a little bit more things, as the market changes, things of that nature. The other thing that will help you is if you have all this written out, it will just help you get a much better grasp of everything you're trying to do, why you were trying to do it, and it'll get all your thoughts in a row. So with that, let's dive right into it. So the first thing you need to include and think through is your value proposition. If you're in your classic elevator pitch, how can you describe what your business does in 30 seconds? That simple. What is it you want to do? What is it you want to sell? What service is it you want to provide? Once that's done, the next item you'll want to dive into, and this one requires a little bit deeper, is the need in the marketplace. Is there a need for what you want to sell or do? Are there already a bunch of other places that do the same thing? If there are, what are you going to do differently? What are you going to provide the marketplace that it does not have in the current offerings? Are you going to do it more cost effectively? Are you going to do it with better customer service? Are you going to expand on the current offerings in that individual industry? What's going to make you unique over the other ones that are out there? That would dive you into the next one, which is specifically what you're providing. What the solution you're providing to the problem that's out there. For example, a problem could be is there is not a blank, whatever it is in your business, within a certain mile radius of where you want to provide it. It could be there is not a blank with a customer experience that people want, or there is not a restaurant in a particular category that provides food of the quality you want to provide. Maybe it's someplace that is not currently existing at all, like there is no market for it currently, but you believe that people would embrace it. So after you figure out what exactly you're doing, your value proposition, that the market needs you, specifically what the solution is, and what the problems you're solving, then you want to dive into your customer avatar. Now, we did a whole podcast on customer avatar, so I won't dive into that too deeply here. But what your customer avatar is basically who specifically is buying your product or service. Where are you going to find these people? What characteristics and traits do they have? And basically everything there is about a specific person. Because once you identify a single perfect customer, it's easy to replicate that and to find where you may find many more people like them. All right, once we got your avatar all set up, then we want to dive into the competition. We really want to take a look even deeper at who else is in the area doing what you want to do and how well they're doing it, where their price points are at, whether they're big box, whether they're online, whether they're a small local shop. All those things will identify what others are doing, and you can take and extrapolate several things from those. One, you can look at, well, what are they doing well? What are the things that I would like my business to do also? What are the things they're not doing well? What are the things I want to do different and improve on when I try to do this? Or even what different niche that you can fall into that may be a little bit different than the current competition is serving. As you dive deeply into and look at all the competitors, and I would encourage you to shop these competitors too. If they provide a service, have them provide a service for you. Get to know your competitors as deeply as you know your customers, and that will serve you later on. It will provide all kinds of insights to where the gaps may be that you can fill, things that you can do better, and also things that are working for them. Now that we know what we're selling, who we're going to sell it to, and what the competition's doing, we need to figure out how much money we need. To start any business, you need some amount of money. It can be a small amount, it can be a large amount, depending upon the business. If you're starting something that's home-based, you know, just doing it part-time online or whatever that is, maybe it's a small amount of money. But if you're opening a brick-and-mortar store and you have inventory and build-out and all that, you may need a large amount of money. So first you need to figure out how much you need, and then you got to figure out how you're going to get it, get a strategy for that. Now that can be everything from self-funding. That could be maybe you think it's you should be cashing in your 401k. Maybe you think you should borrow some money from family. Personally, I don't recommend that. I would say figure out a way to do it yourself. Maybe you think you need investors to do that. If you're growing and expanding and you have a proven business model, you may have some luck doing that. If this is your first dive into a particular industry, that may be an uphill battle. But before you can figure out where you're going to get it, you have to figure out how much you need. So once you figure out your funding and everything, you really are going to need to take a look at exactly how and where you're going to sell your products, exactly where the market is, exactly how you're going to do it, down to minute detail. And while you're actually figuring that out, kind of blends in with the next item, which is how are you going to take this to market? You know, are you going to be selling in a storefront? Are you going to be selling, you know, on a website? Are you going to be selling direct to consumer? Are you going to be selling? There's a million different ways that you can market things, but you really have to define what it is you're selling, how you want to sell it. And then you can encompass some of those strategies. And the one thing I will tell you is that typically the more spread of strategies, the better. Like, for example, just because you're doing things on social media doesn't mean that you should not be making phone calls or emails or trying to make contacts through local people or even sometimes advertising in local publications. One thing that has really worked well for us is aligning with local charities. By that, what I mean is we would hold an event at our stores and we would take and have them come in. We would donate usually some things to raffle for them as well as donate a portion of the proceeds from the sales of that day to them. And sometimes we'd have other things going on, like, you know, sell food, whatever it is, to draw in those people and the people in their tribe to let them find out about our business. Now, that obviously that's a brick and mortar type of strategy in general, but it could also be adapted to be used for an online only company also. When you're first opening, you definitely want to make a big hype about it. You know, try to do some press releases, you know, grand opening, deals, contests, giveaways, anything you can do to start some hype and get some people to hear about you initially. Now, conventional advertising can be great. Personally, we haven't had a ton of luck. Usually the things that we do the best with is what I would call more of a guerrilla type of marketing. Things that are just simply different or out there or out of the box compared to what other people are doing. Just helps you to differentiate yourself. All right, so now once you figure out how you're going to market it, you really need to set some targets, some goals. All right, how much do I need to sell compared to how much do I want to make to pay for my expenses? And then also, how much profit would that yield? And often these are so interrelated, like your marketing activities, you'll know, say, hey, I need to put in X amount of dollars to be able to gross this amount of dollars to be able to net this amount of profit. So it's often helpful to back that out that way also when you're coming up with your budgets. And some things, like, you know, online, you're thinking, okay, well, I can run this Facebook ad. It's going to cost me X amount of dollars per customer. I know that my profit numbers per customer per typical order are X. So then I can actually do some quick math, and I know this much money I stick in, I'll get this much money out. With things like brick and mortar, it's not always that cut and dry. There's a lot more variables to it. Could be different based on the time of year. Could be different upon all kinds of sorts of factors. But you definitely need to have that budget in place so you have a starting place, and then in turn set some sales goals to fund that budget that you've made. That's one part of this that's always going to be tweaked, and your numbers are simply going to get better the longer you're in business. But in the beginning, taking a look at your competition and doing some basic math, you can definitely put some good targets in place and have a great starting point. All right, so now you know what you're doing, you know how you're going to take it to market, you know what problems you're solving. You know who your customer avatar is. You've analyzed your competition. You understand how much money you need to get this thing going. You've identified how you're going to sell it. You've identified how you're going to market it. You've set some targets. So now it's time to back up, get way overhead, and take a 30,000 foot look at the whole operation. Now, by doing this, then we want to turn around and set some milestones or create a Gantt chart. And we need to put together all of the things that you need to do to get that business rolling. So that can be everything from, like, if it's brick and mortar, perhaps there's a build out. If it's online, maybe there's a website build out, some funnel build outs. Perhaps it's sourcing the product. Perhaps you're having some product OEM'd for you, so you need to turn around and wait for production time of that. Maybe there's some formulation that goes with that. It's going to be different for each individual business. But the thing they have all in common is you can always set that up. You can always have that Gantt chart or simple milestones or however you want to organize it. But you need to lay the whole thing out in a timeline. There's going to be lots of different steps to get you underway. Maybe you'll have a soft launch before a hard launch. But the marketing will usually always start well before the launch to be able to build some hype. So when you're actually able to start selling your product and the product is in stock and ready to go, that you will be able to get a good takeoff and not just kind of wah, wah, wah. So definitely want to take great care in setting those targets and milestones, and that your whole plan should be laid out. It should be laid out from, hey, here's day one where I'm starting right now. I know what I'm selling and I've identified my business plan. And then however far that is in the future, launch day, then you need to fill in everything in between. Now, the everything in between could be getting it funded. It could be placing orders. It could be, starting to build your brand by getting the logo made and whatnot, and then starting to promote it and starting to build some hype on social media and to start to do all those things with consistency. Those things will need to start long, long, long before you launch your business. That is one key thing that people often do wrong, is that they will take and, okay, my business is launched, and then they won't have taken the proper time to build all the things underneath, to do the business plan, to do all those sorts of things. So now once you have your kind of milestones and overall Gantt chart or plan, however you're going to lay it out, laid out, then you want to start taking a look at, you know, employees. All right, in the beginning, am I able to do this myself? Who do I have to hire? What holes do I need to fill? When do I need them hired by? Do I need to hire them now before I start? Can they be hired along the way? Am I able to do some things for a while myself? You'll make a plan on that, and quite often your timeline will be off. And it's always going to need adjustment. Like, for example, when we launched our first sheepdog store, we anticipated that we were going to be able to staff the store without hiring any full-time employees. Well, that lasted about 2 weeks, and we had to do a hard pivot and get some people hired, and it just got that busy. So you never know exactly how things are going to go. You can take your best guess, but I would always encourage you to have a plan and a timeline, but also be ready to accelerate that timeline as much as possible. So by help laying out the team or employees you will need for the end game, you can figure out how to ease into that as you go. But you definitely want to identify as you scale. So, okay, so I'm at X dollar amount. I've sold X amount of units. So I want to double that. So what does the team look like that you have to have for that first step compared to the team you have to have for that second step? And by clearly identifying that, it'll also in turn have a really good idea of how you can scale. Of course, we're all building these businesses to be able to grow and to be able to serve more customers, make more of an impact. And to do that, we will in the end need more people on our team. But we need to identify who those people are. And we've talked about this in the past, but our core values when we're hiring, to make sure that those people that we're bringing onto our team are the right people. So those things are really where I would start for a business plan. You can probably write that up in probably an hour or less. I would say, though, after you get it written up, definitely take some time to dig into a lot of the possibilities. Like, for example, your competition. You may know that already because you may be in the industry, or you may have used many of the competition, or you may not. You may have done your customer avatar previously, or you may not. You may have an idea how much money you need to start and where you're going to get it funded, or you may not. So there's a lot of areas that you may need to dig in deeper, and it may need to be now or it may need to be later. But this should get you a start, and that you spend this hour and dig through these 11 items, it should give you a much, much clearer picture of what your business is, what you're going to look like. Now, one side note on business plans. I've had a lot of great ideas for businesses over the years. And usually my first litmus test is to sit down and write a business plan. And as excited as I am about the potential of this new business, when I'm going through the business plan, my goal is to talk myself out of it. My goal is to find gaping holes in my idea that are so large that it would never work. And the reason I say this is, putting it to the test early, before you've invested time and money into it, is much, much better. I have a ton of ideas. I've started a ton of businesses. A lot of them have been successful. However, if half of my ideas are good, that would probably be optimistic. So don't get stuck on the first thing you come up with. If you dive into this business plan and things start not making sense, don't hesitate to shift gears or change, or maybe just let it sit for a week and then think through it again, and maybe you're missing something. But the business plan should also help you make sure that everything you have is solid, that you're starting this business on a solid foundation, your idea is solid, the market's solid, everything like that. So don't always look at it as a negative, look at it as a positive if you figure out that, hey, I need to make some changes and this may not be the right business. But don't give up. Find another idea, find another thing to put through the litmus test of a business plan. I hope you found this beneficial. If there is someone that could definitely use to hear this podcast, please share it with them. Please make sure to subscribe so that you can get all the latest episodes as soon as they come out. Steve Schaubacher, this has been the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. Thanks for joining us. We will catch you next week. Let's go!
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.